Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. It is Thanksgiving week, one of my favorite weeks on the calendar. Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Thanksgiving.
I've been saving some calories, too, recently. It's been a plan here, Waddle.
We have a pie plan for
it's
Thursday?
It's a pie plan, yes, because I've been, like, I felt like some ice cream over the weekend.
Oh,
like,
I bet you did.
And I said, no, no, no. And I've been eating a little healthier. Because I am going to town on Thursday.
Yeah, you're going to shock your system.
Yeah, probably.
You know, I mean, probably. Why don't you gradually work your way into Thanksgiving?
My wife said to me, you know, for years we've talked on the show about my love of pecan pie and what happens if I don't get that pecan pie on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you become an ass.
Yes. And my wife said, and because it's just the four of us now, like, unfortunately, we cannot be with my mom. We cannot be with my sister and my nephew and everything like that. Because we've got to keep it just who is in our inner circle. So my wife said to me, you're the only one who eats pumpkin pie. Do you just want a solo pie? And then, you know, one of these mini pies. I said, no.
What a silly question that was.
Half the pie gets eaten that day.
Yeah.
That day. The other half that weekend.
Well, I think you have made it known in the past that you're a two-meal guy on Thanksgiving, right?
You got a good memory.
Well,
your memory?
Not really.
Whoever does, they should be lambasted because you have a good memory there.
Yeah, you like to have a major meal followed by a less major meal later in the day.
I like that mid-afternoon Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
That way, like around halftime or whenever, right around that third football game.
Well, while most people are passed out on the couch, you're back in the buffet line.
I'm back for more. Yeah, yeah. I'm heating up some turkey. I'm getting some pecan pie.
It's pretty impressive for someone who's not a larger human being, what you're capable of doing. Yeah.
What'd you tell? I mean, look, I could fart like I'm fat.
Yes. No, you're right. There's no doubt. I mean, you could clear a room like Yurko can when the bowels are dialed up, when the butt gun is loaded. But
yeah.
But on the feast front, you're also very talented.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun week here, as all the weeks are. 312-332-3776 to react if you want to weigh in. The best thing you did this weekend
Bears. Time out. You're going to say the last several weeks watching the Bears average like 4 points per game hasn't been fun? It's been fun the last
several
weeks.
The shows have been fun. The Bears.
Okay. All right.
No, it was I enjoyed it yesterday. I enjoyed not having the Bears. I enjoyed college. I thought there was a lot of great takeaways from a heavily hyped college weekend that we did on Friday. I think it lived up to all the expectation. And then Sunday was fantastic, too.
I agree with you.
Sort of roam around and just take in these games closely.
It was stress-free because in good times and bad, I've always got a little extra juice flowing through the system. Like whether I'm worried about the team or I'm excited about the team or I'm pissed at what's going on or I'm elated with what's going on. You're right. I mean, it was nice. I'd prefer to have the Bears on every weekend, but I have to say it was nice kind of dialing back the emotions for a weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you just see the great offensive talent throughout the league.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
You just see it. It all circles back to the Bears, too. But if I could just relay some news, too. So whether you want to come out with anything you saw this weekend, what you did without the Bears, if you enjoyed the weekend more without the Bears, your biggest football takeaways, whatever's on your mind, this does work into the Bears because Matt Nagy did meet the media 45 minutes ago.
Yep.
I had the Bears press conference on, and then Jed Hoyer took over his press conference at 1:30. Even though he was here for 9 years, he was introduced today, Waddle. He had a nice suit on, looking sharp, looking tan as always. Does he tan? Is he a fake tan guy?
I don't know. Maybe he's just got a good complexion. That's something I wouldn't know much about. So.
I think he's a tanning bed.
Is
guy.
He really?
I would. Know,
do people
I
still
gamble,
get the tanning bed?
That's what I wonder. Yurko still has the tanning bed at home, but
I don't think he
uses it. The first thing I noticed, I'm like, that's a sharp suit, Jed, and how the hell are you still tan?
Maybe he's been
in the middle of the fall.
Maybe he went to Cabo, or maybe he got away for a while and got some sun.
There's work to be done. There are no Cabo vacations right now for them.
Well, when you're slashing payroll and you're getting rid of all your players, you do have some extra time on your hands, don't you?
I think the hardest work
when you're busy working 72 games. I mean,
you're saying this is just easy to just now just subtract.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just telling you. I don't think he's in a tanning bed.
I don't know.
Maybe
Cap can text him for us. Do you want to? You want to bet on this?
Well, Cap's got a tanning bed too, doesn't he?
Cap has a sauna. I don't know if he still has a tanning bed anymore.
I bet he does.
I bet that Jed still does something, whether it's some sort of a spray tan, whether it's a tanning bed.
Ooh, a spray tan?
Yeah, that's. I mean, my wife does
There's
that.
No chance Jed Hoyer is spray tanning.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he's in a tanning bed. Like I said, I think there's a chance maybe he went to Florida or South Carolina or went somewhere where the sun was out and he got some sun and he's got a good complexion and... You know, he's got that good Mediterranean skin, and he looks good.
I'd like to see if we take can you imagine Jesse or Cap's first text when he's done taking the president of baseball operations job for the Cubs is, hey, Waddle and Sylvie want to know if you fake pay.
No, just Sylvie does. Waddle doesn't want to know. Waddle doesn't
Jesse.
Care.
The Zoom call with Jed is still going on. Yeah. I can see Jesse in a box on my screen, sitting there with his baseball cap on in front of his bookshelf. Text him right now and ask him to ask on the Zoom call.
That's a question that I think someone like Jed, who's open to everything and is the nicest guy in the world in a lot of areas, I don't think Jed would be offended by that.
No, I think that's something like Theo would do. Yeah. Like there's been a lot of stories recently to come out about the way they go back and forth and the pranks. They teepeed his house one night when Jed said, I have to wake up early in the morning, and he wanted to stop boozing.
That's probably when they were going to the NLCS, right? Because everything's, you know, sunshine and blue skies when you're winning.
Yeah, I think it was in 17. Yeah.
Right, sure.
Something like that.
Still
so anyway,
had the World Series buzz coursing through their veins.
Yeah, so I'm watching Nagy first, and then I'm watching, the Cubs press conference. First, Nagy did not address the quarterback situation with a direct answer. He says they're working through the injuries with both Mitch and with Foles. And they would have more on this on Wednesday.
But
nothing.
But somebody was on the field today.
Mitch was throwing.
Yes. Nick was not.
Nick was not. And Montgomery was on the field as well today.
Can you connect those dots?
Yes.
To me, it says it's with no definitive lean. But it sounds like Mitch is more... is healthier, and I would venture a guess. I would, if I had to put my money down on in Vegas, I'd put my money on 10 back under center.
I think so too, because they know they can't let this slip to 5-11, 6-10. I know it makes them look bad though too about Foles that you were so bad, and over the weekend I was checking this out. Remember those quarterback power rankings that we would bring up from NFL.com last year?
Yeah.
And that there were times when Mitch Trubisky was ranked the lowest quarterback in the entire league last year. And for the truthers, let's not, there are a lot of truthers out there who are saying, least the Bears weren't that bad with Mitch.
Oh, yes.
They had last year in the back 30. They were ranked the worst starting. They had the worst starting quarterback at a time.
Yes.
When Drew Locke just started starting for Denver.
Don't forget, they were 29th in points per game and 29th in yards per game. And Mitch was at the bottom of the barrel statistically and a whole lot of stuff. So just don't forget that.
Garner Minshew is just starting as a rookie for Jacksonville. Drew Locke, I think, just had started for Denver. And all those guys were ranked higher at a point last year than Mitch in the quarterback power rankings. Greeny was blown away by this. I had a lot of fun with that. So I hadn't gone back to that this year. I checked in because it comes out on Friday. I checked in over the weekend. Do you know there were only two starting quarterbacks who were ranked worse than Nick Foles currently?
Two starting quarterbacks
who were ranked low. And remember, this is in real time. This is not like, hey, Drew Brees is the Saints' starting quarterback, because he wasn't this week. So they do it based on who's starting that week, which makes our guy look worse. Okay? So that should answer it for you.
Who's worse?
Well, I just gave you one with the Drew Brees reference.
Well, I mean, so what are you saying? Like Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill?
Taysom Hill was ranked worse than Nick Foles.
Okay, yeah, that's...
And there, well, I mean, think about that. And without that, he would be last. And do you know who the other guy was?
The other guy is going to be Andy Dalton.
No, Andy Dalton was ranked ahead and well ahead. So was Cam Newton.
Carson Wentz.
It was not Carson Wentz. And he's been garbage. Is it Jake Luton or Luton?
For Jacksonville?
Jacksonville. Kid starting in place of Minshew.
Yeah.
That our guy, and like, it just got me to think, and I don't want to get angry again. But
don't get angry.
Because it was a stress-free, like you said, worry-free.
Yeah, come on. Peace and love, peace and love.
The Bears are the only team in the league who can go from having the worst starting quarterback in the league while changing it from year to year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's ever been done before, where they went, where Mitch Trubisky 1 year was ranked the worst starting quarterback by the power rankings on NFL.com. And they said, look, we got to get to work. We got to bring in a better solution. We're going to bring in our guy, Nick Foles. And boom, what happens? They bring in their guy with their coaches, and they currently have the worst starting quarterback in football.
Well, and what have I been critical about with regard to the coaching staff for a while now? A lack of adjustments, right?
Yes.
I would argue that their resistance to trying Mitch again would be another example of them failing to read the room and make the necessary adjustments. And I would say that to anybody else out there who is looking at this situation and just saying, well, I get it. We all understand either way you're looking for your new quarterback at the end of the year. But if you think, based on what you've seen, and the less than stellar play, the disappointing play, the unexpected poor play of Nick Foles behind a bad offensive line and a coaching staff that is not willing to protect that quarterback with adjustments, if you're going to tell me, well, it doesn't matter, and it's six and a half dozen of the other, you're as bad as Nagy not willing to make the adjustment. Like, I'm not telling you Mitch is taking you to the promised land. But based on what you're seeing and have seen now, based on their inability to protect, based on their inability to do really anything, and based on Nick Foles not playing well at all, as you referenced his stats.
I just want to bring up here after the break, and then we'll take all your calls. If I wonder, though, if Matt Nagy thinks this makes him look even worse.
Doesn't
if he goes
matter.
Back
Gotta
to
win a game.
332-3776. We'll get to all your phone calls. What was the best thing you did without the Bears? Your takeaways from anything football this weekend. Jed Hoyer also said that the general manager position is going to be searched outside the organization. They're going to have an outside the organization search. So Jesse's going to join us at 3. Jeff Saturday is going to hop on at 4. He's been very critical of our Bears. Mark Gingreco at 5:30. Is this worse for Matt Nagy to go back to Trubisky? I'm wearing my Mitchapalooza shirt. We'll get to all your calls coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Here's all I'm saying. The Bears, yes, need a win. And I'm with you on this. And I do. They broke me. And I'm riding the Mitchapalooza train right now. I'm wearing the worst shirt ever made in Chicago sports history.
Look, you just want to win. And you look at the situation and go, gosh, what they were selling us with Nick Foles in this offense, it doesn't work. He's a sitting duck back there. What's the best thing for them? What could give them a spark?
I'm just saying that for Nagy as a head coach, Nagy as a play caller, Nagy as a quarterback developer, where you sit in front of Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace is the biggest reason for this mess, but I'm just talking about Nagy here. He's sitting across the table with Ryan Pace in Kansas City after they just blew that game against Tennessee in the playoffs. And Nagy is saying everything Ryan Pace wants to hear. Oh, yeah, we liked Mitch, him coming out. I could develop Mitch. He's going to be in trusted hands. I did help develop Mahomes. We're going to develop him right. We're going to teach him how to play quarterback. We've got this quarterback 101 school. And then the next year we go to quarterback 201. And it's really cool. And I'll bring in Chase Daniel. And I'll bring in my other really tall backup quarterback guy who shouldn't be in the NFL. But we'll waste a roster spot with him and Tyler Bray on the roster. And I'm going to develop Mitch. Okay? And then, like, 2 years later, Nagy doubles back and he says, I'm sorry. He's not developable.
I'm sorry.
We can't develop him. He's just undevelopable. And he's not smart and, you know, he's just, it's not going to work. So I got to have Foles. Foles is available. Let's give up more draft capital. You know, just what we want to do. We want to continue to throw good money at bad money and continue to let's pay Foles $21 million. Let's give up a fourth round pick. I need my guy. I'm bringing Castillo. That's going to solve the line. I'm going to bring in some more offensive coordinators. There's going to be a bunch of Nagys on the sideline. And as soon as Mitch stinks, we're going to pull the escape hatch and we're going to go to my guy Nick, because Laser's been with him and Flip's been with him and I was with him in Kansas City when he wanted to retire, and he's such a good dude.
He is a good.
And then now they have the worst quarterback situation in the league. So now you couldn't develop Mitch. You couldn't win with the guy who you handpicked.
Well, that horse left the barn.
Well, now what? I mean, like, it just makes you, now to go back, it's like you're going back to the ex-girlfriend that you're going bad hand in hand.
Do you know what
it looks, was a bad relationship to
that's
begin
fine.
With.
Do you know what looks worse? Is continuing to lose games. You've got to find a way to win a game. And maybe Mitch doesn't help you do that. It's certainly going to be an uphill battle at Lambeau Sunday night. This team, as bad as they are, they also seem to find themselves facing teams that are pissed off from the week before. But you're going to get an angry Green Bay Packers team and a very focused Green Bay Packers team. I'm not telling you Mitch is your answer. I'm just telling you, all things considered, he gives you, I believe, a better chance. And if Matt doesn't make the adjustments and just sticks with it for the reasons you mentioned, I think that makes him look even worse. Either way, all that you just described doesn't go away. You can't erase that.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. 332-3776.
By the way, real quick, Taysom Hill was 18 of 23 for 233 yards. No touchdowns, but no interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 109, and he actually ran the ball for 51 yards. So,
because they catered the game plan to him, right? They didn't try to be the Chiefs or even the Saints for that matter.
Right. He more than doubled his career pass attempts, and you knew how skeptical I was that he could be a full-time quarterback. And I'm not saying he's taking you to the promised land either, throwing it for 16 games. But exactly right. They put a plan together for a guy and let him throw it 23 times. And they actually looked pretty efficient offense.
Think about this, that the Saints weren't even trying to be the Saints. Right. And Matt Nagy, who's with the Bears, is trying to be the Chiefs. It just shows you that one guy is coaching with what he's got, and the other guy wants to just be Chiefs 2.0.
Real quick, there is a difference. They've got Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. We don't, but your point is well taken that...
But they didn't run the same offense that they normally run.
They made adjustments necessary.
Even with those guys, that's my point, because they cater it to the quarterback. Yeah. Matt Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Mike. I think it's Mike and Hoffman Estates.
Hey, you got me here?
All right, Steve.
I had three quick points I just kind of wanted to mention. The first and foremost is kind of just, everyone kind of wants to talk about you know, rushing to get a quarterback, like, it's the biggest need. And while I understand it's the biggest need, since he's a perfect example of why you don't rush that, I understand since he isn't going to pass up on a generational talent for them. So I think that makes sense. But where the Bears are, I don't think you're even thinking about a quarterback in the first round, because you don't want to have a guy that's, you know, first-round pick but nowhere near Joe Burrow. And that's all ruined by the process of him not being able to learn, because he's either, A, injured, or he's beat up every game. And my second point is kind of what you guys already mentioned with Taysom Hill. I think the Bears make it a lot more difficult to just find a serviceable quarterback. We both know that Taysom Hill isn't a franchise quarterback, and we really don't have a big sample size if he can even last a season or not. But what you guys exactly said is you had a coach that has hundreds of plays, and he took 50 to 100 plays, and he said, this is how we're going to win the game because this is our guy. And so I think, obviously, it's hard to have a Sean Payton on your team, but it just shows that scheme is more important sometimes, and you don't force a scheme based on the plays you have necessarily, and you cater more to what your players are able to do. And my last point is, I mean, I've known this. I wish you guys would have done, I think you guys did over-under on who's going to start this year, but, I mean, it was inevitable about 5 or 6 weeks ago that Mitch Trubisky was, he's going to make a way back on the field, whether it was injury or whether you're in this situation now. I wholeheartedly thought that the whole year that it was going to be close to an 8-8 Mitch and Foles type duel. And I think now your only question is what is the benefit of keeping Nick Foles in there? What is, when you put Trubisky back there, what are you losing? And the answer is maybe a little bit of experience, but you're not losing anything. And like you guys said, you get a guy that can actually move in the pocket, and the defense keeps him alive, and Mitch is going to be able to keep him in games at least better than Foles.
Well, what you lose, Mike, is the ability to process some things and to go through reads systematically, and what we were led to believe, some accuracy. Well, the accuracy hasn't been any better. And really, when you don't have time to process things because the line is bad, then that becomes a meaningless commodity as well. So I think Mitch's ability to keep a play alive right now is probably the most important concept that you have.
One thing that I'll counter, and I'm very passionate about this because I hear it all the time, what Mike said about not getting a quarterback because the line is ready.
Right.
Whenever you have the opportunity to get that quarterback, you must pounce.
I just wrote that down. You don't pass on Joe Burrow because of deficiencies up front.
They're a separate story with the way they didn't protect him. But you go get the quarterback, and then you build the line.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying to ignore the line, but you can't pass on good quarterbacks just because your line's not ready.
No.
You're going to go more years without having a good quarterback.
You're right.
Charlie's in Carroll Stream. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a thought, and if it's been discussed already, I apologize. What if you put Trubisky in a Wildcat? Put him the second back in an I formation, let him go up the middle, or let him work out of the pocket and throw a quick screen out to a receiver left or right. Do a shuttle pass. Do a quick end around. I mean, I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
Sounds like the 2019 game plan, Charlie.
I know. I get that. But I'm not saying for every play. I'm not saying it for every series. Alternate them.
Charlie, I got an idea. How about this? How about we do this? How about we run the offense with Mitch under center the way that you saw it was being run the first 2.5 games? Where Mitch is under center, you've packed guys in, you're playing with more two tight ends, you got an I formation, you're running the ball out of the I formation. You're running a lot of your pass routes out of run action, and you're getting the quarterback out on the edge. Now, it wasn't perfect. It was crap for 3 quarters, and then it was brilliant for the last quarter against the Lions. It was really good for the first 30 minutes of the Giants game, and then it was poop for the other 30 minutes.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I'm just thinking in the now situation, in the present situation, and short term for the rest of the year. I mean, that's where my thoughts were. We can't touch base on anything that happened in the past because it's done. So how do we resurrect the rest of the season if we can?
Well, thanks for the call, Charlie. This is I thought Matt Nagy has been at his best over the last 2 years with what he was asking Mitch to do in the first 2.5 games of this season. And again, hear me. It wasn't perfect. There is player error because Mitch is not an upper echelon quarterback. But Matt's desire or willingness to make adjustments and tailor some of the offense around what Mitch does do well, to me, you heard me say it the first couple weeks of the season, I thought was his best job at coaching since he's been here.
It's the Mitchie Cat, we're going to call it.
The
Mitchie Cat. 312-332-3776. As we all need an offensive couch to lay on and to talk to somebody who will help our brains.
Regardless of who's under center. Let's just keep that straight.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that I want to bring up to you that absolutely blew my mind from this weekend. And I think I'm going to stump you in black.
Okay.
With a poll question that I asked 6 weeks ago where there was an obvious answer, but now I don't believe the answer is obvious. I will stump all of you coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, so Waddle wants the Bears to start Trubisky just based on where they're at right now and giving them the best chance to win, especially with a line.
I want them to start Patrick Mahomes, but that's not possible.
Yeah, right, I know. Ugh. Again, I'll still go to my grave arguing that Cam and Dalton were the better solutions because of you didn't give up a fourth-round pick. Again, fourth-round pick. Like, you gave them a fourth-round pick to have the worst starting quarterback in the league.
And a lot of money. I don't think, Cam got $1 million.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's
like,
got.
Everyone's like, the risk. I'm like, the risk? It's riskier giving up a draft capital than to take a flyer on a guy in just in case Mitch doesn't work out. But that's a different story. I want to see if I could stump you guys here. We did the poll question on this about 6 weeks ago. I don't know how to search for it to get the results, but I believe Foles won the poll. The Big Four at Hallis Hall. The Big Four. The Big Four at Hallis Hall. The general manager, the head coach, and the two quarterbacks. We asked the question about 6-7 weeks ago, who you trust most of those four.
Wasn't Nick Foles the one that led that
yes,
charge?
Yes, and I think by a dramatic... It was him, and then I think it was Nagy was second, and I think Trubisky was third, and I think Pace finished last. Based now on us getting whipped and just continually smacked, like Dre in Denver likes to say, whips and chains, and just we continue, thank you, sir, may I have another. Like who would you say you trust most right now?
There's nuance to this.
Yeah, of course there is.
Okay. Like, if you removed Nick Foles from this system and this staff, I'd choose Nick Foles. Because I do believe, while I don't believe he is an above-average quarterback, if you gave him a system where the coach tailored things to him and they protected him, this is how bad it is. I would say in that instance, Nick Foles.
So it's still Foles in your book, even though what happened with the Rams, what happened in Jacksonville, and this just confirmed it. Like, he has to be in the perfect situation to thrive on a good team in a short burst.
Not the perfect situation, but better than a dumpster fire. There's a wide swath between perfect situation and dumpster fire. So, I mean, I think if you put Nick Foles in an environment where it wasn't a dumpster fire... Because I don't trust Ryan to draft offensive talent. Again, I think Matt's good with people, I don't understand what has gone bad the last couple of years. You know, Mitch is very limited. Nick has accomplished more than all of them.
Right, right. I think I'd probably lean with you. I think in reverse order, I would go Pace is 4, Nagy now is 3, and then I can't trust Mitch the most.
That's my point.
Yeah. So I think Black, how are you answering this one?
I mean, this is a good question because there's no real good answer.
It's a stumper now, isn't it?
Well, I mean, listen, I feel as if we're just trying to talk ourselves into trusting Mitch, but do you really trust him over Nagy or Pace?
Yes. I trust him for sure over Pace.
Yeah, but with Pace, Nagy, you could always argue he's drafted well and he's put together a great defense.
Boy, I can't do it anymore with Nagy.
Nagy's, what about the room? I was always told about the room.
Well,
remember,
yes.
Before I joined you guys, I was told about the room. Well, you got to make sure that room's good.
Okay,
it's a good room.
There, you could point to a positive with all of them. What about Mitch's ability to keep a play alive and his athleticism?
Yeah, keep it.
Mitch doesn't make
the sharpening iron.
He doesn't. Listen, if you go back in time, he doesn't make a lot of the boom goes the dynamite mistakes. He just doesn't help you
because they drop him.
Right. So the point is. The point is there is not a good answer. So which is the best of four bad choices?
I still trust Foles the most.
That's why I said.
Man, that's tough.
But that doesn't mean I think he's the best choice to face the Packers on Sunday night.
Well, just like the fans voted on Carmen's web poll, Carmen had a poll. I think it was 87% want Mitch starting this week.
Oh, did Carmen chase them all and beat them up afterwards?
We have to play that later. I can't wait to play that. Carmen got ding-dong ditched, and he ran after the kids. And I think he caught one.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Which I think is a recipe for disaster.
Chris, you want them to continue to play Foles. Why is that?
Well, if we go through all the different options, right? Like, how can you trust Trubisky when we've seen him? He can't even hit running back in the flat. He throws a 15.
Foles has been equally inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but we have seen him succeed at one point in his career.
Let's have some Mitch fun.
And then Nagy is what? He's Crystal Pepsi. He's the most overhyped thing possible.
What is Crystal Pepsi? I don't even remember
that. The clear Pepsi when they came out with the non-cola cola.
I was never.
It was going to change the game.
Yeah, I was never jacked up about Crystal Pepsi.
You know why?
I was excited about the addition of Matt Nagy.
People were thrilled about it because it was clear, which meant it was healthier for you.
I don't. You know, I think the better comp is. The better comp is New Coke, because we were, I don't know. That would have to make Old Coke good.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bears' offense good, and the Bears' offense was never good. They just sold us the new way with Nagy. It was like New Coke, and I'm like, all right, let's try some New Coke. And this Coke is bad, and it's worse than Old Coke.
We're not talking booger sugar right now. We're talking the
Coca Cola.
Yeah, Coca Cola. What's wrong with you?
I'm just asking.
Sylvie, you're trying to get me into the situation where I say yes, Mitchell should start. Yes, the Bears will be better off with him.
No, nobody's trying to get you into anything.
I think it's more entertaining and it's more fun, and they have a better chance to win.
Wait a second. They're averaging offensively, statistically, they're worse with Nick Foles than they were with Mitch.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Factual.
Right.
And what is their biggest issue in everybody's opinion?
They were healthier with Mitch though, too.
Okay, but what is their biggest issue offensively, regardless of who the quarterback is?
They don't run the ball.
And their offensive line doesn't protect the quarterback.
Yeah. And
he could help with both.
Yeah. Right.
That's all.
Listen, go for it. Start Mitch.
I'm just worried that then what if Mitch wins a couple of games he's not supposed to win, and you know how they work up there.
Well,
and what if not only will everyone be back, but Mitch is also back he's the best option.
Listen.
Aren't you worried about that?
No. Well, if it is, the whole thing is just a disaster.
Well, it's
like,
already
you've seen
a disaster.
Enough. They're not going back to there's. Listen, if they go back to Mitch, they're getting rid of the coach. The general manager is. Because he's already punted on him. They punted on Mitch with the fifth year. There's no more. There is no reconciliation that is going to happen.
Some
that means
quarterbacks
long-term
develop
man.
Later than others. Wow. And we think that Mitch had some time to think about
it. I have
it
this team as an 8-8 team missing the postseason. So whoever's under center doesn't get them to postseason play. I'm just listening to coaches live in the here and the now. A coach has to try to win a game every Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever your game is.
Sunday.
Okay. So I'm just telling you, as things are laid out in front of you, you have to consistently ask yourself the question every week when it's this bad, which guy gives me the best chance to win all of the circumstances in play?
All right, I've got another quiz for you guys. That was a stumper. I've got an actual quiz
for you. I think
we all
agreed, though. We all agreed that Nick Foles is still the guy.
Yes, we all still. Yeah. Who would people pick? And Mike on the South Side, you'll get us started. James in New Lenox, we'll get to you. 312-332-3776. And I'm going to quiz you on quarterbacks coming up next. I'm very proud of my quizzing stuff that I wrote down on the paper over the weekend.
Maybe
okay?
You should be a teacher.
I kind of am these days. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Quarterback quiz for you and the class coming up here in a couple minutes. I think it's going to illustrate just why I'm going so crazy about this Bears offense these days and what we've been through historically.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Before I do that, let's. Mike's been very patient on the South Side. Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Great show. So
thank you.
First of all, let's do a quick parallel. Years ago, several of us would call in. We did not like the way the Bulls were handling the coaching because Thibodeau was a defense expert. They didn't have a lot of talent, but at least his defense, which he was paid to do, was tops in the NBA. They stupidly fired him. The Bulls collapsed. In this case, it's the offense. This guy was hired to coach offense. He wasn't hired to coach all pros and all stars. Clearly, there's a talent issue. So here's my question. I agree with you, Waddle. The accuracy or inaccuracy of Bulls the last few weeks has been shocking. Look, he's a cool guy, Foles. He clearly knows football. He's intelligent. We were told he was a pocket passer. The last two games, respected analysts, not just the mid-level guys, but top analysts who played football, were saying he's not stepping in the pocket. He's not accurate. He's not a starting quarterback. So here's my question. Why doesn't Nagy take a page out of what we saw this weekend, okay? And you saw Taysom Hill? Let's have Taysom Trubisky. Let's get some plays going, like you were saying, Waddle and Sylvie. Let's get some offense going and say to Nagy, look, forget that you made a mistake bringing in Foles. Whichever of the two is going to work. Like against the Vikings, clearly it would have worked to have a guy who's mobile. Coach this team up. Get him in the playoffs. We know we've got problems. Maybe there'll be a whole new quarterback next year. They'll draft some running backs. We'll get a running game. But let's you're a coach of offense. Okay? Don't tell us what you don't have, Nagy, or what you've never been a part of. And Nagy seems like a good guy. I'm not knocking him. But why don't you coach the play? Put a scheme in with these quarterbacks.
Yes.
The way you do packages. Let's do some coaching. You got a defense. You can win some games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, as I've said a bunch, Mike, it's been what I've been most disappointed about.
Yeah.
For all the reasons you just mentioned. And as I said earlier in the year, I thought it kind of got through to him. When you saw what they came out with Mitch under center for the first 2.5 games, you finally kind of connected the dots and said, okay, there's a coach that's adjusting his system to the talents or the limitations of his quarterback. Mm-hmm. So
thanks, Mike.
It did look better. Yeah,
it did. No, you're right. It did. It looked better. It didn't look perfect because there is player error because they're not very talented at the quarterback position. But mm-hmm. It looked better and it made sense. Like, they were dedicated to running the football in the first couple games of the season. Statistically, it bears out. The guys tweet about it all the time, the guys that cover the team consistently. I mean, the rushing totals and the consistent approach to staying married to the running game in the first couple weeks of the season, it was there. Why it went sideways, the only explanation could be is that the head coach couldn't wait to get his guy into his system to show everybody.
Right, to run his offense.
Right, what he was capable of.
Yeah. James in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. I know you talk to Lewis Riddick a lot, and I'm just curious because I know me and some friends of mine, we'd almost like to see Nagy and Pace gone and maybe put, like, Riddick and Joe Brady in those two spots. But I'm wondering, next time you guys have him on, if you might be able to ask him if he was leading a team like the Bears, what kind of things he would do to try to right the ship. Because I'm curious if someone like that would consider moving some of the guys with value that are starting to get a little bit older but still have decent value for draft capital or for draft capital, and maybe you know, blow this thing up and start over from scratch.
Well, Lewis, James, Lewis is never, because he's got to protect his relationships with all of these coaches while he's doing Monday Night Football. I don't think he would ever come out and do that. But I listen, Lewis tells you what he thinks.
Yeah, Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator of Carolina.
Yeah. Who, by the way, 20 zip, they found a way to beat the Lions with P.J. Walker and no Christian McCaffrey.
Joe Brady is, I think, 31 years old. He was with LSU before that. Before that was with the Saints.
Yeah.
I'm open to anything. Again, I'm desperate. And here's why I'm desperate, okay? Here's why. This is just an example of our pain. I was watching football yesterday, and I saw a quarterback on the screen, okay? So I'm doing a Carmen DeFalco quarterback A versus quarterback B comparison. He always likes player A versus player B. And how you don't know who they are may change the narrative on something. One of these quarterbacks, quarterback A or B, is somebody who played football yesterday at the quarterback position. Another one of these quarterbacks is retired, and he's recently retired, last 3 years or so. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback A has played 145 career games. He's thrown for 34,500 yards about. 34,500 yards.
How many years?
I didn't write down years. I wrote down games. He's been in 145 games. He's thrown for, let's say, 34,500 yards. He has 220 touchdowns, 168 interceptions. He's thrown for a completion percentage of 60.7. 35K, like 34.5, 220 touchdowns, 168 interceptions, 60.7 completion percentage. Quarterback B, 153 games, 35,100 yards, 227 touchdowns, and 160 interceptions. And he has thrown for 62% over his career. So just to give you the comp, one quarterback's played 145, the other quarterback played 153. One quarterback has thrown for 34,421, the other one 35,133. Very similar. One quarterback has thrown for 220 touchdowns, the other one 227 touchdowns. One quarterback threw for 168 interceptions, the other 160 interceptions. One quarterback threw for 60.7%, the other 62%. So wouldn't you say almost identical stats, right?
Sounds it.
One quarterback is recently retired. One quarterback played football yesterday.
Is Joe Flacco one of them?
You're close on the Joe Flacco.
Is Andy Dalton one of them?
Is Cam
Newton one of them?
You're probably closer with Dalton than you were with any of the names.
Is Kirk Cousins one of them?
Now you're getting warmer. Now you're getting warmer. You're in the Flacco Cousins. You're getting warmer now, but I just think step down from them even.
So I gave you Flacco. I gave you Cousins.
Let me give you a hint. He didn't start yesterday, but he played football yesterday. He played quarterback yesterday.
Jacoby Brissett?
No, he couldn't have thrown that many yards.
Who's the quarterback that put Fitzpatrick's one of
Fitz.
Them? There it is.
Fitzpatrick. All right, so quarterback A is Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic, journeyman quarterback. Mostly a backup, years starting with the Bills. 34,421 yards, 220 touchdowns, 168 interceptions, 60.7%. Quarterback B is Jay Cutler. Okay, so the best quarterback we've ever had, the one quarterback that we vault, the one quarterback that we continue to hold on a pedestal and say it was awesome, is Jay Cutler. Do you know who Jay Cutler was? He's Fitzmagic. Do you want Fitzmagic in town? Do you want Fitzmagic as your solution?
No.
Ever. And that's why the bar is so low for us, and we can't even raise the bar in town. It's incredible to me. When I was watching Fitzmagic sling, and I'm like, you know who Fitzy reminds me of? He throws those really painful interceptions, but he's mobile. He's got a good arm. He reminds me of Cuddy. Let me compare the stats. Does that surprise you?
No. No, I mean, like, the game is, there's a lot of nuance to the quarterback position. I mean, I would take Jay Cutler over Ryan Fitzpatrick. But statistic, like stats can tell you a number of different stories. I bet you Andy Dalton's in the same category.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I think they're all statistically kind of in the same spot.
312-332-3776.
I would say, is it the chicken or the egg in some instances? Like, if you're throwing to a good crew or you're not, I mean, a lot of times it's about who you're surrounded by. Like, Andy Dalton had some guys that he could throw to. I mean, there were some good players he played with.
So coming up, I want to continue the football conversation, but Jesse Rogers is going to join us. Could Chris Bryant be heading out the door following Theo Epstein in just a matter of days? We'll ask Jesse that question in 2 short minutes.